If you turn with me to the resurrection chapter of the Bible, which of course you know is found in 1 Corinthians 15. And the last verse is one of my favorite verses. We're going to turn a moment to Ecclesiastes as well, but I want to start with verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15. As you start the new year, maybe you've made some resolutions, maybe you didn't make any resolutions. You know, everybody tends this time of year to say, I'm going to lose some weight, get exercise, eat healthier. But good resolutions are, I'm going to read my Bible every day. You know, I'm going to spend time in devotions every day. So those are good things to resolve. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our time here on this earth is rather brief when you think about it. And if we don't do something while we can, it'll not get done. And we can look back with regret. Oh, I wish I had, but we didn't. Most of what we do, probably it could easily be attributed to the flesh, but hopefully as a Christian, we've learned to depend on God. And it is Him working through us that we accomplish things. In the Associated Press, there was an article many years ago about the producing of an acre of corn and getting 100 bushels an acre. And they put out all the things that were necessary to produce 100 bushel of acre of corn to the acre. So the farmer's labor was part of it, obviously. But it required 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 7 pounds of yellow sulfur, and many other elements. In addition to these things, which no man can produce, is getting rain and sunshine at the right time. It was estimated only 5% of the produce of a farm can be attributed to the efforts of a man. If we were honest, we would probably say the same, accomplishing anything for the Lord, that we have some part in it, but it's God using us, working through us, and it's His doing. Amen. And without Him, we can do nothing. So we're at zero, not even 5%. It is God who has to work in and through us. Now if you turn over to Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. The idea is that we give ourselves, it says cast or give ourselves, present ourselves to God. Romans 12 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. So we're not our own, we're bought with a price. The idea is then we consecrate or present ourselves totally to God. Amen. And the idea in Ecclesiastes is to cast, to literally throw yourself into the work of God. Some of you, when you got saved, it was like, I can't be at church enough. You know, I can't read my Bible enough. You just threw yourself into the things of God. And that's the way that you've been since then. So the idea is to cast our lives into the work of God, into God Himself, and not hold anything back. Luke 10:27, it says, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. I don't know if you could ever know. Have I really given all? Have I really consecrated myself to that degree with all my heart, mind, and soul? That's hard to quantify. Sometimes in sports, they say, give 110%. What they're trying to indicate is you're not giving 100%. You think you are, but you're really not. And the coach's idea is, I'm going to get it out of you. So we're going to try extra hard, a little bit harder, and you'll be closer to 100%. But as a Christian, are we at that 100%? Are we giving our all? Don't hold anything back. So the idea is, present yourself unto the Lord. Cast yourself into the Lord, into His work, into Himself. Just, I want to give my life to Him, whatever that might mean, and whatever I can do for Him. An interesting statement, and there's several. We'll come back to another one of them later, but it makes a statement that says, if the tree fall to the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, I don't know how many have ever cut down a tree. You cut down a big tree? You cut down a big tree, there it is. And if it's a real big tree, it's impressive when that thing hits the ground. It is impressive. There it is. Now, what are you going to do with it? You know, hopefully you cut it up, or, you know, you cut it into pieces. You know, if you got big equipment, I suppose you could work with it. But the truth is, you can't lift it up if it's that big. You can't. It's, you know, a few thousand pounds if it's a big tree. So what are you going to do about it? You can't do anything about it. So he's reminding us there's some things, circumstances, that we can't change. You can't do anything about it. Now, I suppose that we could look at last year's election and say we're not really happy with some of the things that happened. But we can't change that. It's what it is. There it is. You can't change it. We can look at the economy, and I don't know how promising it looks this year. But whatever it is, that's what it is. You can't do anything about it. Your appearance, you can't do much about it. We can try, but it is what it is. Our family, the way we grew up and where we live, there's probably not much we can do about it. Certainly not the past. But if we're not careful, we can dwell on the things that we can't change and fail to do the things that we should be doing. So in spite of the fact that we cannot change all of those things, we just keep going forward. Cast your bread on the water. Put your life into the work of God. Do what God wants you to do. And do it fervently. It doesn't matter if people respond or not. Hopefully they will. We can mail out 50,000 books, but we can't make anybody believe or read them. But we can pray and ask God to do it. We're doing our part. And you do it with exuberance and excitement and zeal. The idea is, don't hold anything back. Give your all. Don't wait on the results. If we're waiting on a blue moon, they only come every 2 or 3 years. I think 1 year they came 2 months apart all the same year, but it makes up for it. Maybe 3 years before you see another blue moon. If you're waiting on the Amazon to have a nice cool breeze, you're not going to have many days like that. If you're in Ireland, you're waiting on a day that doesn't rain. You may be waiting. You don't get anything done. If you say, well, we can't have this outing. We learned we were Ireland. If you don't do anything when it's raining, you don't do anything, because it rains every day. There are certain things you cannot change, certain circumstances you can't change, certain physical limitations you have. But there's a determination, whatever I've got, I'm going to give my all. One of the greatest bus captains that I ever read about was a woman in a wheelchair. And she would go around to all these places and come up the door in a wheelchair, knock on the door, and invite kids to come. I mean, what are you going to say to a handicapped person? You're not going to criticize. You're not going to yell at them and say, what are you doing here? But she was just faithful and just kept, year after year, just kept doing it. She wanted to reach people for the gospel. If it's in our hand, if it's our opportunity, we have the ability, then we should do it. Here's what Galatians 6:10 says. If we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. If you wait to do it, it'll probably never get done. If it's an opportunity and God's given you the opportunity, take advantage of it. If there's an opportunity to witness to somebody, to teach somebody, to help somebody, take advantage of it, because you may not come back again. So whatever opportunities we have, whatever situation may be, do it with your heart, with your mind. Jim Elliot said, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. I'll tell you, it's amazing how such a young man became a martyr for Christ. And you read all these quotes, he was a deeply devoted Christian. And he's well known because of that. You know, and I have many, many quotes that I've read about him. They're all just tremendous. But he said, wherever you are, be all there. Put your heart into whatever it is God gives you to do. You may lose. You may not be the best. It may not accomplish what you want. But the one thing we can do is give our best. You know, the one thing we can all do is be faithful. We may not be talented. You may not be able to sing with your wife, and you may not be able to play the piano with some of the other people, but you can be faithful. You know, there's some people, they don't have it. It's like they have no talent, but they're always faithful. There's something to be said for that. Just be faithful. Keep doing what you're doing. At the 50th anniversary of my parents, somebody said, well, I guess looks like this might last. And my mother quickly quipped back. She said, that was decided 50 years ago. There ought to be that heart and desire that I'm going to give my all, give my best to what God has for me. If it's His will, I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter. And if you think about it, all the things that we've done, I mean, I just don't think about it. I never thought about it. Lately, as I've gotten older, I think about it. You think about it, we have 18 acres of property. We have multiple buildings, acres of buildings, Forest Place. We have a gymnasium at Christian school. We have a Bible college. We have a staff of people dedicated to the Lord, missionaries all over the world. I mean, you think about that. We never had money to do any of that. We never had the ability to do any of it. Russ Boynton gave me a bulletin from 1984. You know what our budget was then? It was $900 a week. You know what the mission program was? It was $150, it was something like that. $150 a week for missions. And I don't know what we gave last year, but it's somewhere around $140,000 or something like that to foreign missions. You know, the last week offering was unusual because it was $60,000 because there's a special gift. And last month has been special. But still, you think that would have been unbelievable if we had money like that. Whatever we did no money. Whatever we accomplished, it wasn't because we had talent. It wasn't because everybody was a trained voice or pianist. We were just doing the will of God as what best we could. And that's all He asked of any of us, just to do our best. Don't worry about the circumstances. Don't say, well, I can't do it. If God calls you to do it, you just do it. If that's what God wants you to do, then just do it. As I've mentioned a couple of times, I just knew that it was time that in 2025, it'll be 50 years, I'll turn 72 the week before, and I said, that's the time. Never thought about it. What do you do after that? How are you going to live? What income do you have? You know, I don't even have a very, very meager Social Security. I just said, that's what God wants to do. You just do it. That's how we came. We came, we didn't have any money, we didn't have any support. We just said, that's what God wants us to do. You just put your heart into it and begin working and be faithful. And it's amazing what God can do. And I want to tell you something. It's God's doing. It's not mine or yours. It's God's doing. He's the one that accomplishes that. And if we were in Japan, like our daughter, and you have 14 or 15 people, whatever happens, it's God's doing. You can't measure one to another. You know, it's not Africa where everybody claims to be a Christian or everybody gets saved. That's a tough place. But they're doing the will of God. You put your heart into it. You can't measure yourself with everyone else. Don't allow circumstances to control you. You can't move the tree. Clouds are full of rain. It's going to rain. You can't stop it. It's coming. There it is. The time when I grew up in a country in Indiana, and I know there's climate change. There was a storm coming. You could see it coming. I mean, you literally see a wall of water coming at you. You'd be running to the house to try and beat it to the house. I was going to say, hold it. There's nothing you can do about it. All you do is run for your life. So you don't want to get wet, soaked. The clouds are full of rain. It's going to rain. Let's not waste time about things we can't change. Let's not worry about the things that we can't change. You know, God will take care of that. Our circumstances, it's just God's allowed us to be in a certain place at a certain time under these conditions and know that God has a purpose in all of it. He works all things for good. So I'll give you three little points. Number one, don't worry. Worry just robs you of the blessings of tomorrow. Worry, many times, things that you worry about never come to pass. It never even happened. It was unnecessary. Now, if you have a problem with it, do this. Write down things you're worried about, send it to me, and I'll keep it safely for you. And at a period of time, you know, we could bring them all out. If, you know, if there's a reason to worry, we'll bring them out, we'll worry about them. But otherwise, just forget it. Don't worry. Secondly, don't relive the past. I don't think there's a person here tonight that would say, I wish I could go back and change something. I wish I could do that differently. I wish I hadn't failed the Lord. I wish I hadn't sinned. There's not a person here tonight that wouldn't like to go back. You can't go back. You know, when the tree falls, there it is. You can't change it. You can't do anything about it. You can't lift it up and carry it away. And we have to understand, and more than ever, it should humble us to realize the grace of God. It'll forgive us and still use us and empower us. When you read the life of David, to me it's remarkable. Here is a man after God's own heart. He had a heart for God. He had some tremendous moral failures. When you read through 2 Samuel, it's not easy reading. It's pretty tough going. And all the things that happen are pretty wicked. But he just kept going. And he sought the Lord because he had a heart for God. He accepted and humbled himself whenever he failed. So you can't relive the past. Number three, don't attempt big things until you fulfill the little things. Like one person, they want to swing for a home run. They can't even get a base hit. We need to start with what we can do. Say, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to go over the world. I'm going to see thousands of people saved. Well, why don't you just reach somebody near you? Why don't you start there? One woman was concerned. She said, my husband's not saved, and I feel like I'm wasting my life, and I just don't know what to do. And the pastor turned to her and he said, if God called you to go to a mission field somewhere in Africa or a third world country, and you knew after you worked all those years and many years, gave your whole life, and you'd only reach one soul, would you be willing to go? She said, why, yes, of course. And then he looked at her and he said, well, what if that one person was your husband? Are you willing to do that? You know, we got to start with the things that are immediately upon us, the things that we know we can do. So don't attempt the big things till you do the little things. And if we're doing all the things that God's given us, he'll give us more. The Bible talks about from faith to faith. That's one step of faith to another step of faith. So if we have that first step, maybe a little one, but we take that step, it gives us the confidence to say, wait a minute, God did that. Look at how he met my need. The Bible says, seek not all the things of this world, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's just something you have to prove God with. I mean, there's no easy way to figure it out. Just you have to prove God. All right, I'm going to put him first and then see what happens. Sometimes people will say, well, I just don't have enough money to tithe. That, you know, that's a false statement. That's not true. Because you do. You just don't do it. It's 10% of your income. You just take it out. You say, but I can't afford to do it. So by not doing it, how are things going? Not very well, are they? If you put God first and say, I'm going to put him first and I'll give my tithe first, you might be amazed at what he does with your life. And I can tell you, person after person, through the years, they said, oh, I can't tithe, can't afford to tithe, you know, and I know I should, but I can't. They're always in debt. They always have problems. They can't serve the Lord because they have these restraints. They always need help. And they have enough money. They just don't put God first. Put God first. Perform the little thing. And then we just should learn to do our job. That's a statement I've heard a lot the last few years. Just do your job. You know, a team together, everybody has to do their job. That's true in the Lord's work. Just everybody do your job. What's God called you to do? Then do it. If it's putting water up on the platform, if it's playing the piano or singing, if it's going on the bus route, or if it's teaching in Sunday school, if just being faithful and helping put books in envelopes and sending them out. What is your job? Just do that. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, and it's repeated, so I think it's important. Just live by faith. Isn't it funny how hard that is for us? We're afraid to step out in faith because we feel, boy, what's going to happen? I'm afraid to step out in faith. What's going to happen? We've got to trust the Lord that He'll take care of us. Live by faith. Whatever He's called us to do, we do. The circumstances can change, too. You know, our circumstances today probably will not be the circumstance we have tomorrow. As time goes by, we go through different stages of life, and that changes our circumstances. You know, when you're at home, you're a child, you have certain circumstances. A teenager, there are certain circumstances. And then you go to college, or you're a young adult, then you get married, then you have children, then your children grow up, and then they graduate and they go on. There are many stages of life where our circumstances change. But we have to realize if we can't do anything about it, then let's just do our job. Let's be faithful. Sometimes parents say, well, my teens have grown up, so I'll stop going to church now. Why would you do that? That's going to affect them because they'll realize it wasn't real. You went only for their sake, not for the right reasons. So as those things change us, we need to do our job. Sow the seed. Witness. Get involved. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You never know what good will come from the work that you do. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. George Mueller, the famous preacher of England, and held an unbelievable orphanage during a difficult time in England. He made this statement, the longer I live, the more I am enabled to realize that I have but one life to live on earth, and that this one life is but a brief life for sowing in comparison with eternity for reaping. We have a short time to sow, an eternity be a long time to reap. We reap what we sow. And if we are faithful to Him, someday we'll say, I'm glad I did this. I'm glad I serve the Lord. I've heard different times where a young person's called to the ministry and a parent says, oh, you don't want to do that. And they discourage them. In some cases, they don't go. That's so sad. It's like, it's not much money in the ministry. Is that what life's all about? No, it should be doing the will of God, giving your life to Him. God will provide for you. And some of those people actually end up in poverty. Seeking to have money, seeking to have different things, they don't have either. We can't change all the circumstances, but we can do our job, and do it now, and immediately put our heart into it. Because someday, all our labors will cease. The night comes when no man shall work. But there is a brief moment. Our life's a vapor. We have to use it while we can. The good part of it all is God will make it grow. He gives the increase. Back in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5, we read this. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so knowest not the works of God who maketh all. There are things that we don't understand the significance of them. We don't understand the importance of them. You know, there was a shoe salesman that won a man named D.L. Moody to the Lord. I doubt that he understood the significance of that. And not at the time. He was just concerned about someone. There was a Sunday school teacher that won Dr. Lee Robertson to the Lord. He was just Lee Robertson. He was a teenager that was not interested. She won him to the Lord, and think of the influence he had, but she had through him. See, you don't know what God will bless and what God will do. I've had some of the best ideas that were total failures. I thought, this is a great idea. This is going to work. And came to nothing. And other things, it's just like almost off the cuff. It's like, wow, it just took off. Look at how God blessed that. You don't know what God is going to use and bless. But if you do nothing, then nothing's going to happen. So we need to be active in doing what God wants us to do. Let God prove Himself. Let His Spirit work through us to do the work. Zerubbabel talks about the revival needed in that day coming back from captivity. And he said, "Then answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." It is God who does it. We just have to be a vessel to be used of Him. So you might ask yourself, do you have a big God or a little God? As a little girl listened to her father read devotions, and she seemed intrigued by the talk of her parents and about God's power and mercy. And she said to her daddy, placing her hands on his knees, "How big is God?" And her father said, "He's just big enough for whatever you need." And He is. He's big enough to take care of our needs. We've seen it over and over and over again. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord God." Isaiah said, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." See, in that day when Egypt was powerful, they thought, I can go down there and make money and have power, and that's how I accomplish the work of God. R.G. Letourneau became a very benevolent Christian businessman. And he had started to become wealthy, and he was giving significantly to the Lord's work. And then one year he thought, you know what, if I don't give any money and I keep that and invest that in my business, I'm going to even have more money to give the Lord's work. And I've told the story before. You know what happened? He went bankrupt that year. And he learned his lesson. Now, God wanted him just to be faithful. God just wants to prove Himself through us. We can't trust in the riches or power. It doesn't matter what kind of home you live in, the car you drive, how much money's in the bank. It really matters. Are we yielded to the will of God? Doing what He wants. There was think twice I've given this illustration, and to me it's powerful every time I read it. And I usually give it without reading, but I want to read it because it's a little more detailed than I'll be able to remember all of it. So an old missionary couple had been working in Africa for years, and they were returning to New York City to retire. They had no pension, their health was broken, they were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. They discovered they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from one of his big game hunting expeditions. Well, no one paid attention to them. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president's entourage, with passengers trying to catch a glimpse of this great man. But as the ship moved across the ocean, the old missionary said to his wife, "Something is not right. Why should we have given our lives in faithful service for God in Africa all these many years and have no one care a thing about us? Here this man comes back from a hunting trip and everybody makes much over him, but nobody gives two hoots about us." "Dear, you shouldn't feel that way," his wife said. "I can't help it. It just doesn't seem right." When the ship docked at New York, a band was waiting, greeted the president, the mayor, other dignitaries were there. Papers were full of the president's arrival, but no one noticed this missionary couple. They slipped off the ship and found a cheap flat on the east side of New York, hoping the next day to see what they could do to make a living in the city. And that night, the man's spirit broke. And he said to his wife, "I can't take this. God's not treating us fairly, and I don't feel it's right." And the wife replied, "Well, why don't you go in the bedroom and tell that to the Lord?" A short time later, he came out from the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. His wife asked, "Dear, what happened?" "The Lord settled it with me," he said. "I told him how bitter I was the president should receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we returned home. And when I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, 'But you're not home yet.'" And what we do here on this earth may not get the recognition that you think you deserve. But someday in heaven, someday when we stand before him, we'll say it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Let's bow for prayer.